Support for Living on Earth comes from the National Science Foundation and Stonyfield Farm.
From the Jennifer and Ted Stanley Studios in Somerville, Massachusetts, it's Living on Earth. I'm Bruce Geller. Climate talks in Durban, South Africa, got off on an energetic, positive foot as UN officials, negotiators, and politicians took to the stage and got down. And then when the music was over, they got down to 2 weeks of tough talks. Typically, UN climate summits are annual cliffhangers with negotiators huddled in hallways, making last-minute deals behind closed doors. But this year's marathon meeting in Durban ran deep into overtime. And as the drama unfolded inside the convention hall, outside on the streets of Durban, environmentalists protested the slow, painful pace of the talks.
People united will never be defeated!
The Durban talks came right down to the wire and beyond, with a lot on the line. Hanging in the balance, the fate of a climate-changing world and the future of the UN climate process itself. Alden Meyer is just back from Durban. He's Director of Policy and Strategy for the Union of Concerned Scientists, and he joins me from Washington, D.C. Hi, Alden.
Hi, Bruce.
You must be exhausted. The last few hours, minutes, seconds were very tense at the climate meeting this year.
Yeah, they were. And, of course, most of us have been up the last two or three nights. It went all night for a number of the ministers on Thursday and then Friday and, of course, around the clock on Saturday. This was the longest conference of the parties, so it was a record breaker.
So when all was said and done, what was done?
Well, there's a number of parts of the so-called Durban package. First of all, the European Union, Norway, and a few other countries decided they would stay in the Kyoto Protocol after the first commitments expire at the end of next year. No change from Japan, Canada, and Russia, which have indicated they want to drop out. And, of course, the deal for that, for Europe agreeing to stay in, was that the U.S., China, India, other countries that don't currently have any binding commitments under Kyoto need to engage in a negotiation that will start this year, go for three more years, and not take effect until 2020.
So Kyoto is the only legal binding treaty that we've got. That applies to 37 industrial countries, not the developing countries like India or China. And then they want to keep that going for what, another 5 years? That would take us to 2017 and then start negotiating a new pact that would take effect in 2020.
That's right. They punted on the issue of whether the next commitments for Kyoto would be 5 years or 8 years because most of those in Europe, they've already legislated their emission reductions out to 2020. And if you're not going to have the new negotiating period take effect until 2020, you might as well make it 8 years, many of them think. So that'll be decided at the next meeting in Bonn this coming May. But the big deal here is that we really were at a fork in the road. If you hadn't extended Kyoto and you hadn't launched a new round of negotiations, we would have been going back to the purely voluntary days of the early 1990s under the Rio Treaty, when countries put on pledges or made promises. But of course, with the exception of the former Soviet Union countries, which had deep emission reductions as a result of the collapse of their economies, none of the rest of the industrialized countries met their promises, and that's why we had Kyoto. So we really were at a choice point here, and it was good to see them maintain the rules-based multilateral regime. But of course, it's got some holes in it. The coverage will drop from about 28% of global emissions down to about 15 or 16 because of Japan, Russia, and Canada jumping out. And of course, the rest of the world won't be brought in until 9 years down the road. So it's not ideal, but it's the best we could have gotten. And there was a sigh of relief, I think, from the small island states, the most vulnerable countries, the European Union, and others that want to see climate action when this deal was finally done in the wee hours of Sunday morning.
So Japan, Russia, Canada, they're not going to stay in Kyoto. Is this meaningful in terms of preventing catastrophic climate change?
Well, I think the other part of this was it's not as aggressive as it needed to be in terms of near-term reductions. There are a few handles in the part of the Durban package that came out that called for countries to start talking next year about how they could up their game and how maybe we could bring in some sectors that aren't covered, like international shipping and aviation. But the reality is we're not on a path to meet the goal that was set in Copenhagen 2 years ago of holding global temperature increases below 2 degrees Celsius above pre-industrial levels. We're a little under 1 degree now, so double that, and you will double the impacts that we're seeing now, which are already starting to mount, particularly on the most vulnerable countries. So I don't think there's anybody that came out of Durban that thinks that we're doing enough to really come to grips with this catastrophic problem.
So Alden, is this process, the UN process, any way to save a planet?
Well, it can't be by itself. The reality is there's no international process, there's no UN body that can force big countries like China, India, the U.S., others to do things that they don't believe are in their national interest. So I think the bottom line is action has to start at home. You have to build the political will to do things. But then you've got to bring what you're doing into the international regime and collectively decide how you're going to get the world on a path to avoid the worst impacts of climate change. So it's not the ideal, but as Don Rumsfeld said, you fight climate change with the regime you have, not the regime you want. And I think that's sort of where we're going now.
Well, Alden, get some sleep.
I will indeed. Thanks a lot, Bruce.
Alden Meyer is Director of Policy and Strategy for the Union of Concerned Scientists. Well, during those last tense hours of negotiations, we reached Jennifer Morgan at the Durban Climate Summit. She's Director of Energy and Climate Programs at the World Resources Institute, and she was feeling a bit bleary-eyed when we called.
Yeah, long nights, long days, that's for sure.
And why does it take so long? Why do they always seem to go right down to the wire?
Well, I think there's a lot at stake here, and the decisions that they're making are not small. So I think it's a mixture of intense technical details that have to be sorted out. I mean, just imagine the forests and how you use your energy and how you count things and how you create funds are all very technical. But then clearly the politics here is incredibly complex as well. And you get into the field of the U.S. versus China's relationship and how Europe is moving forward despite the euro crisis and Africa coming in. So if you mix that complexity of politics and policy, it just takes time.
What about the mood of this meeting? Each one has a different sense to it. What's your sense of the mood?
Well, I think the mood is a mixture of things. I think on the one hand, everyone here is aware of the fact that what this process and what countries are currently committing to do is deeply inadequate in comparison to what the science is telling governments that they need to do. On the other hand, though, I think that there's a sense of slight movement or optimism to try and finally resolve this question of the legally binding thing and get the fund up and running and get the incremental steps moving.
There was some frustration by a young American student, Abigail Bora, who was attending Middlebury College and was in Durban, and she interrupted Todd Stern, the U.S. envoy for climate, during his speech. I want you to listen to that.
I am scared for my future. 2020 is too late to wait. We need an urgent path to a fair, ambitious, and legally binding treaty. You must take responsibility to act now.
How did that play there in Durban?
Well, I think that she was very inspirational and spoke the words that many people feel here, but that sometimes diplomatic speak doesn't allow to be said.
Talking to us from the UN Climate Summit in Durban, South Africa, is Jennifer Morgan. She's Director of Energy and Climate Programs at the World Resources Institute. Jennifer, thank you so very much.
Thank you.